Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earlene Brooks Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How was your fourth?
It was relaxing, well needed. How about you, Earl?
Oh, well, we were in the parade yesterday. Johnny Watermelon, myself, and why did I even begin to start this, man? Because, well, anyway, we were in the parade yesterday, so it was really exciting, really nice day at the parade here in Waukesha. But anyway, I want to welcome my guest, good friend, and national award-winning newspaper columnist and longtime TV and political radio and television commentator, none other than Joel McNally. Hey, Joel, how you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. Great to be here again.
You know, Joel, there's so much to talk about, man, and all the things that are going on. You know, I've just been thinking about you. Things aren't getting better in the country, Joel. We got a lot to talk about this morning. I'm thankful that you agreed to be on. Let me begin by, Joel, this is as of May 1st, and this is, you know, this is not in some, you know, lightweight periodical. This is in Reuters. Are you aware, Joel, that as of May 1st, more than 14,000 people had been killed by gun violence in this nation in 2023? As of May 1st, Joel, 14,000 Americans killed by guns. And
how can that not be so? You know, every day, and we just passed the 4th of July, and we know what happens on the 4th of July. People get together and celebrate and have fun and join in large crowds, and people shoot each other in America. And that happens. It seems like it's happening every day because it is happening every day because we don't even report the murders that are constantly happening on an everyday basis. We have to, you know, have a big gathering where a whole bunch of people can get killed at once.
Hey Joel,
before it even makes the news in America.
Roughly 125 deaths each day. Listen to that, Joel. Since the beginning of the year, 125 Americans killed by other Americans, and this is not one of the biggest issues in this nation. That should be at the top of it, shouldn't it, Joel?
It is at the top of it for a whole hell of a lot of Americans and for the majority of the American people. It is at the top of the agenda. But you know who it is not at the top of the agenda for? The Republican Party of the United States. And that is disgusting. It is appalling. And all we can do, and all we can do about that, and all we can do about protecting abortion for women in every state of the union, like we did for 50 years, all we can do about the racism and you know what the Supreme Court just did to ignore racism. And say we don't have to provide college opportunities and job opportunities for African Americans anymore because we're going to be colorblind. And we know what happens when America is colorblind. When America is colorblind, America is a white supremacist nation because they will always, the white supremacists in this nation will always say black lives don't matter, brown lives don't matter as much as white lives.
You know, Joel, we're going to touch base on a lot of different things. You know, you just shudder at the future of this nation at the rate it's going right now. And the only hope that really exists is that younger people understand that the rate that we are going right now is the wrong, and in the wrong direction. There's no question that we are headed in the wrong direction in this nation, and at the root of it happen to be people, many of them who call themselves conservative Republicans. You know, Joe, I did this the other day, and so I'm going to do it again today. I'm going to continue to point this out. This is Rose's Thesaurus, and these are synonyms for conservative. Here we've got fearful. Fuddy-duddy, controlled, inflexible, extreme, sober, traditionalistic, unchangeable, unchanging, uncreative, undaring, unimaginative, unprogressive, old-fashioned, firm, you know, cautious. You know, Joe, these people... And who right now think that it's better that everybody should have a gun in their hands in this country, and that they can't even think that this many people being killed, Americans, 125 a day, Joe, that many people aren't being killed in a war in Ukraine with Russia. That's not happening every day there. But it's happening in this country, and yet we still see people pushing, you can't mess with my Second Amendment rights. Joe, children being shot down, babies being massacred in this country, and yet people still pushing for their Second Amendment rights. I don't get that, Joel. I never will.
Well, as a matter of fact, you shouldn't get that, because that's not what the Second Amendment says. The Second Amendment says that the militias that were the only security force at the time that Second Amendment was written, Second Amendment was written when there weren't police forces. It was not written for individuals. It was written for the armies that would sometimes gather up because something terrible was going on, and they used their own violence against it to stop it. Those were militias, and those were not individuals who had a right to go out and kill anyone they wanted to. Those were the security forces that existed in America at that time, and that's what they were for. That would be like, you know, that was before they had armies even. You know, they had fought a revolution against England to win independence, and this nation was just organizing itself to figure out how they were going to protect themselves, how they were going to control their communities, all that. They were busy building a nation, and part of building a nation was to say, you know, at some point we're going to have to figure out how you're going to control crime and that sort of thing. And that was what the police forces eventually turned into. But we have, in fact, and sometimes to our sorrow, given our police forces the right to carry guns, to use guns, to enforce security in our communities. Now we've found out, through sorry experience, that could not be anything goes by these security forces, and that whatever they wanted to do to control their communities was okay, because, you know, they were the police. We now know that we can't do that. We have to regulate our police, and we have to control our police as well. Because when you start giving people guns and saying you can use them to control other people, that can lead to very bad things unless there's very strong restrictions and supervision of that.
Well, so
and we know that it has not been historically.
So, Joel, more than 300 U.S. mass shootings recorded halfway through 2023 this year, on pace to be the deadliest ever. Each year it gets worse and worse and worse. And yet, Joel, we are just being served up, you know, by a business community. The people who supply ammunition, the people who supply guns are making a fortune off of the blood of the American citizens. You know, we just talked about and just celebrated the 4th of July. It is a sham, Joe, to talk about that when the blood of the American people continues to roll in the streets, even on the so-called holiday.
I agree with that, Earl, but let me say this, because we've already started out with this, and we haven't said anything on the other side yet. And you know what I want to say.
I know. Go ahead.
You know what I want to say? Well, here is what I always am hopeful about. You mentioned young people, and that is always the hope of America. But let me say the most hopeful thing I see right now in America is what I said just in passing as we got into this horrible conversation. The majority of the American people do not support.
True. Absolutely true.
Do not support even the assault weapons that the mass murderers use to shoot people in large numbers.
And the majority of the American people don't own firearms.
But the majority has to get control of its own laws. That is all there is to it. And right now, that is very difficult to do because there's one major political party in this nation that does not even support a democracy right now. And that's why they...
That's a heck of a statement, Joel.
The majority of people do not support what they are doing.
Joel, that's a heck of a statement.
And the majority of the people have to get control of it.
That's a heck of a statement, and those people will push back against you. But I want you to delve deeper. I want you to delve deeper on the other side. We've got to go to a break, but I really want you, and I know you can do it, defend that statement. 844-967-2789. My good friend Joel McNally is on the line. You can join us too. We'll be right back.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected today with scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 89. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight.
Everybody claims that they want the best things out of life. But not everyone wanna go through the toils and strife. Like this particular fella walks around all day long saying, shine.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. text us at that same number. My guest is Joe McNally. You know, more than 300 U.S. mass shootings recorded halfway through 2023. This year is on pace again. This is as of June 19th to be the deadliest ever. You know, Joe, you mentioned earlier, 56% of Americans don't own guns. So the majority of the American people, Joe, don't support what is going on in this country, but yet we don't seem to be able to control the narrative on this. And as you stated, there is a party in this nation that does not support democracy. So you were saying, my friend.
Well, I mean, that is just a fact. And but you and I get in this conversation every time we get in this conversation, You know, am I a foolish, person who doesn't know what's going on by saying that I see positive move in the direction that we are going, and I have seen it ever since. I can't even believe I'm saying this right out loud. Ever since Donald Trump was elected. Imagine that.
Come on,
imagine,
man.
That. You know what? Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump.
Yes.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah. Beat him by 3 million votes. 3 million votes. Imagine that. And you have to say, if can you imagine an election where someone loses an election by 3 million votes and yet is declared the winner? That doesn't sound like democracy to me. Does that sound like democracy to you?
Absolutely not.
But the good news is, of course, that 3 million votes was an increase in the past votes that Republicans had been elected by. George W. Bush, the previous Republican president, became president when he was defeated by Al Gore by only 500,000 votes. So when Donald Trump was defeated by 3 million votes and became elected, that was an even higher defeat than George W. Bush became president under. All we have to do is keep turning out more millions of votes until we figure out what the right formula is to become elected by getting the most votes in America.
But Joe,
we already know it's not 3 million getting defeated by 3 million votes. So we got to defeat somebody by 6 million votes, or we got to defeat somebody by, 100,000 million votes. I don't know what it is yet, but I do know that the American people support and don't support anyone who does not support democracy, and anyone who does not support the Constitution of the United States. Right now, the Republican Party does not support the Constitution of the United States, and the majority of the American people do. And that's the hope I see for the future, because, in fact, when we're talking about assault rifles that can fire hundreds of shots within minutes, and not only that, they are high-powered rifles that have been used in this country repeatedly, I might add, to blow apart young children.
Joe,
they should never be used by civilians. They are weapons of warfare that are supposed to wipe out large numbers of people.
I agree with you on all of that, but in urban communities, the carnage over the holiday in Milwaukee, in Baltimore, in other places, the numbers are just astronomical, where young children 15 years old are killing other 14, 15-year-old. It's the numbers just are swelling, and we can't stop that as a nation, Joel. We can't stop that.
We can if both political parties want to stop it. That's all it would take, because right now there was only one political party that wants to stop it. But all it would take would be for, two political parties, the two major political parties in America, to want to stop it.
Right.
And if the Republican Party doesn't want to stop it, they have to be voted out of office.
So Joel,
we have the numbers to do it. And Wisconsin is a very important state in doing it, because Wisconsin is about a 50-50 state.
Well,
that's kind of hard to believe. That's kind of a hard to believe thing. But because
grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning, grandma's hand played a tambourine so well, grandma's hand to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast, might fall on a piece of glass, might be snakes there in that grass, grandma's hand.
Grandma's back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is my good friend, Joel McNally, national award-winning newspaper columnist and longtime political commentator on radio and TV. You know, Joel, let's talk about Wisconsin and what has taken place. You said it's a 50-50 state, and, right now, there's a $7 billion surplus at Robin Voss and the Republicans in a 50-50 state have demanded that, we cut the taxes on the wealthiest amongst us, $3.5 billion. 18 families making $75 million a year or more, Joe. 18 families in the entire state of that $3.5 billion tax break will get $1.8 million a year in tax breaks. The rest of the other many others in the state that make $50,000 or less, Joe, they get $36. And yet, somehow, that's all right, Joe. Somehow, people in this state think that's all right. I don't understand that, Joe.
No. I'm sorry, Earl. Here I have to disagree. People in the state do not think that's all right.
Okay.
The majority of this state does not think that's all right.
Well, I'm thinking the ones that are voting Republican who vote yes to that.
I can even say that even the ones that are voting Republican
don't know.
Most of them probably don't think it's all right.
Okay.
They are. I tell you what, many of them are doing. Many of them are doing them because they're controlled by a Republican Party that plays on their fears and their hates.
Now,
and
that's
their
true.
Racism.
That's true.
And all of that.
Because they're the ones that.
As a matter of fact, most Republicans don't even think that's all right. They take what they can get from the Republican Party, and what they get from it is a lot of hate and a lot of ugliness that they have been learning all their lives. But the real problem, of course, when I say it's a 50-50 state, but the legislature is two-thirds Republican, that's not because two-thirds of the state are voting Republican. As a matter of fact, in the last election, more Democrats running for the legislature received more votes than Republicans did. So how did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. Because the state Supreme Court in 2010 gerrymandered the voting districts in Wisconsin so corruptly that the Republicans won an overwhelming majority. An overwhelming majority. They are not an overwhelming majority of the state. But if you, but here's the way you do it. They call it packing and cracking. If you pack every Democratic vote you can into the fewest possible voting districts possible for the legislature, okay, that gives the Democrats the fewest wins they can possibly get. And the cracking part is that any Democrats you can't pack into those small number of districts, you don't hold them together. You crack them all up. You split them into as many districts as you possibly can so that they can never be a majority of those districts. And that is what produces a two-thirds Republican legislature in a 50-50 state, which is evenly divided. That is even when Tony Evers, Tammy Baldwin, Josh Call all won re-election statewide, all won election statewide. That meant that the Democrats won the most votes statewide for every statewide office, but they could not win the most votes for the legislature. It was impossible. It was physically impossible because they were either packed into the tightly packed districts where they would win elections by 80%, or they were spread out into as many diverse districts across the state as possible where they could only win, 20%.
So Joe,
and that produced a two-thirds legislature that is totally controlled. But here's the thing, that they are playing on borrowed time. Their time is over because
the
right
Supreme
now,
Court has
the
changed.
First time in,
yes.
The first time in 15 years, we have a Supreme Court that is taking office on August 1st, a state Supreme Court that is going to hear the corrupt gerrymandering and do something about it.
So, Joel, hang on. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. I just want to respond and reference with, the 81 million votes that Joe Biden got really quickly. So just for the record, he won the electoral vote by a larger margin. It was almost 57% to 43% versus 51% versus almost 47% for Trump on the popular vote. So the electoral vote certainly coincided with what we had in the last election. So I want to be clear with that. It should also be noted that Andrew Jackson, and if you had Professor Harvey on, he would tell you that Andrew Jackson, he lost the presidency. And even though it was a 10% difference,
Joe,
John Quincy asked.
David, I'm trying to, you're going all around, respond to what Joel has said, either yay or nay.
As far as, what do you mean yay or nay?
The gerrymandering and why Republicans are in a position in a 50-50 all state,
right,
to do the things they're doing.
All right, so you had some areas in the city of Madison where they had 98% of the votes went to Democrats. I mean, that's almost, that's like ridiculous. So now as far as what he says, gerrymandering and everything, okay, they can be tweaked a little bit, but the reality is the majority of Democrats live in Dane County and Milwaukee County, and everything else is kind of like split down the middle. There's certainly more, if you look at the amount of counties that went Republican, if you look at the counties, they went majority of them by far went Republican. It just so happens that the two biggest cities in the state of Wisconsin are overwhelmingly Democratic. And let's just be honest. I mean, that's the facts. You can't dispute the numbers. I mean, if you look at what Dane County turns out, I think it was like 80 to 20% or something like that. So 8 out of every 10 votes in Dane County is going for a Democrat. That is.
Oh, okay. David, hang on. Joel, you want to respond to what David is saying?
You can throw these kinds of numbers around, but the 98% that he just quoted as Madison is exactly what I'm talking about when I say packing. Okay? When you pack all the Democrats into districts that will get them 98% of the vote, that means that there are a whole lot of other Democrats that can't get their own candidates elected in other districts. But as a matter of fact, the good part is what is happening and what is really changing the redistricting in Wisconsin is that right now it's not just the city of Madison and the city of Milwaukee, which are Democrat, because it's the spreading suburbs outside of those cities changing as well. And when David talks about numbers, there's a reason why the Democrats have large numbers in cities, because cities are where most people live. I hate to break this to David, but rural areas and small towns that overwhelmingly vote for Donald Trump do not constitute a majority of anybody. The only way you can do that is to draw your districts so that you include as many of those little towns as possible to mass them together to come up with enough votes to elect a Republican on their own. A small town or a rural area cannot do that. Rural community cannot do it. You have to mass them all together. And you have to draw those lines very carefully, because there are a lot of districts throughout this state that have cities in them. There are a lot of colleges around this state where the students on those colleges are voting overwhelmingly Democratic. And that's why, as a matter of fact, the Republican Party in Wisconsin has now declared that they want to ban voting on college campuses. Now, what kind of America is that where you would intentionally ban voting in certain places, you know, where people are likely to vote Democratic? When you can throw these numbers around, but what you have to admit is that ever since 2010 in Wisconsin, the districts have been very carefully drawn. And these are not because these Republicans are any kind of geniuses. They don't know. The stupid legislators who are passing these Republican bills in the legislature, they don't know how to gerrymander. They turn it over to their law firm, and they did. They turned it over to a law firm in Madison that used computer programs that could automatically give Republicans enormous majorities in the legislature.
Joe, hang on, Joe.
They use algorithms. We've heard of evil things about algorithms. That's one of the things they do with them.
Joe, hang on 1 second. David, quickly.
When I mentioned with neighborhoods, it's within the actual city of Madison, some parts. So this has nothing to do with gerrymandering. It's just the reality that the city of Madison is extremely highly Democratic. As far as what he was just talking about, though, Dane County as a county came up with 80-20. And that, and Dane County is now, I think, the third most populous county in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, that being said, yes, I understand what he's pointing out with the fact that small towns are going to have trouble electing somebody. But that being the case, that doesn't make it right, because you do have to have some sort of representation where it's not a super, where you're not overwhelmed, where you have one party controlling over the other. So right now, because of the way Wisconsin is set up, it is more of a purple state. I mean, it's Evers did win, no, but it wasn't like.
Well, okay. Hey, David, thank you very much. Joel, I'll let you respond on the other side. 844-967-2789. But Joel, he just made your point. Maybe he doesn't know it, but we'll give you a chance on the other side. 844-967-2789. Joel McNally is my guest. We'll be right back.
If I get to heaven, I'll look for Grandma Zane.
Can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Joel McNally. You know, Joel, as you listen to Dave, and you know, he clearly knows the truth, and yet he's, you know, he says it's a purple state, all those things. We all know that. But the fact that, you know, Republicans continue to control the legislature can put a stranglehold on the city of Milwaukee and punish the taxpayers in the city of Milwaukee. And a guy like Robin Voss, a sniveling guy who can take away the rights of the citizens in the city of Milwaukee because things are so gerrymandered. And so Dave sees that, he knows that, but yet he won't be honest about that.
Well, there's always a small germ of truth in some of what he says, which is that yes, there is some natural separation where people who live in cities or close to cities or who are intimately involved with cities, they are in fact much more Democratic than Republicans. But that doesn't get you a 2/3 majority, you know, of anything on the other side. It has to be done corruptly. You cannot just automatically come out with a 2/3 majority from a what David correctly calls a purple state. That just isn't natural. You have to really work hard at it. And like I say, the legislators who did it, or the Supreme Court justices on the corrupt Supreme Court that we've had for 15 years in Wisconsin, they aren't smart enough to do it themselves. It takes computer experts to do that. And what the majority of people who say we really ought to make, you know, our democracy more representative of the population say is that we know how to do that. We know how to do that. You have to work hard to do what the Republicans are doing, because that's unnatural, because there are far more Democrats than Republicans in Wisconsin. But you have to make it very difficult for them to vote, and Republicans have done that for decades now. Some of it's built directly into our Constitution. The fact that every state in the nation has two senators, whether they're California, which has
or Rhode Island,
or Rhode Island, that already gives an enormous bias against large states. Large states are underrepresented in the Senate. We talk about the Senate as if it's closely divided. It's really not, because there is an enormous population represented by the Democrats, and there is a much smaller population represented by the Republicans in the United States Senate. The House of Representatives is supposed to be more representative of all the nation, and that's why it usually is more reflective of the nationwide vote.
So Joel, clearly, you know, this is something that has come about in the last 25 years or so. And you're right, people figured this out. And it's been beneficial to not the majority of the people in the country. And I'm not even talking about Democrat or Republican. I'm talking about the poor and those who have resources.
Yeah.
And yet the poor, which is the majority, keeps getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you another one of those things I look at as promising is that, in fact, there was always a time when the best educated people and the least educated people, the best educated were more likely to vote than the least educated.
Right.
And we know who got stuck being the least educated for most of America's history. Racial minorities, poor people, they had the least money to go to, you know, further their education.
Right.
It's all the economic disparities and every disparity, you know, on health, on life, on how long you can live, on income.
And Joel, that's even everything. So, even to this day, that's still there.
Yes. Yes. But as you also know, and very well, and I remember when you and I were on 1290 together.
Right.
A great radio station in this town by Willie Davis, because he was a great man who wanted it to be and wanted it to reflect the community, including even the white community.
Right.
when he hired me. And you know, what we've always said is, you know, these problems of race and income are the problems of white America as well as black America.
So, Joel, hang on, because we've got to go to a break, because we were going to go there with affirmative action. You led us right up there. We'll talk about it on the other side, 844-967-2789. Joel McNally, we'll be right back.
Have been loving Jill. A woman needs love just like you do. Hey, don't kid yourself into thinking that she dumb. She can fool around.
Yeah,
she will fool around. So you better take out some insurance and be sure she won't give her that love.
Just like you do.
That sweet, sweet love. She wants it just like you. Cause she can fool around. Just like she will fool around. Just like you do. A woman needs love just like you do. Hey, don't kid yourself into thinking that she don't. She can fool around just like you.